third chapter of 1 Timothy, and let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 14 and read down through the end of the chapter. 1 Timothy, third chapter, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Let us pray. Father, I certainly thank you again today for your grace and mercy and wonderful love for us. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege of having these services, for the people here, for the Word of God to be preached. I thank you. Lord, we need your power tonight. We need your wisdom. It must come from thee. Need the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And Father, we need attentive spirit. Need to be able to listen very closely to the things the preacher is going to say tonight. And Father, I just pray that you'll help us to be attentive, to hear God's word, and also to do it. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to preach a message entitled, Being a Member of the Team. Being a Member of the Team. You know, there is times in the life of a church where a pastor just kind of has to stand back and do some readjustment. There's some times when just things need readjusted, relooked at, and kind of gone over for his people. Amen? And this is one of those times. And God wants me to do this, I know, without a shadow of a doubt. We find in First Timothy, in the third chapter, the Lord had just given us some instructions on the qualifications of a preacher, a bishop, and also of a deacon. And he had given some specific instructions concerning those things. And then at the end of that, he says that he's also doing these things. He's bringing these things to us so we'll know how that we ought us to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, we know that if we're a true church, the Word of God must be preached, must be taught. It must be the pillar and ground of truth. It has to be, or it's not a true church. It must be, we must bring forth the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, behaving like the church, acting like a church, or we're not the kind of church that God wants us to be. Now, over in 1 Corinthians, I want to take you over there just for a few moments, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And let me read verses 4 through 7. We're not going to spend much time here, but I want to read this to give you a little bit of background of the message. Now in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. God telling us that there is different gifts that he gives his children. Did you know that? You recognize that, don't you? God gives each and every one of us different gifts. He says there are diversities or different gifts, but the same Spirit. If it is a gift given by God, it is given by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, directed by the same Spirit. But it may be a different gift. And he says also there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. In other words, there may be a difference in particular service that we have. But he says there, the administration, but he says it's the same Lord that chooses and places people in particular services. Okay? He goes on to say, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In other words, the workings of God, the workings that go on within a church life may be different, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Let me just use that and say tonight we had communion service. Now, if you would go into other churches, you would find those communion services conducted in different ways. And you would find some churches that would conduct them week in and week out. Now, scripturally, is there anything wrong with that? Of course not. It's just a difference in the way, the workings, administration that they chose to do. Now, there is something wrong about it if they depend on the communion service for salvation. But there's nothing wrong if they decide to do it every week or every other week or once a month or every 2 months. I think each one has to decide what is best and what will keep our hearts tender to the things of the Lord. So in other words, we can do a lot of things different in our services and still not be unscripturally. The Word of God teaches us, and I believe this is why God put pastors in the church to direct the church. And each pastor is different. Every single pastor is different. The way he handles things, the way he does things is going to be different. And because he's a different individual. But it's all right. That's really all right as long as he doesn't do it unscripturally. Okay? As long as he sticks with the Word of God, sticks with the Bible, you see, and he will handle things. You know as well as I do, we've had Sunday schools for years. Amen? But there's nowhere in the Bible that says you got to have a Sunday school. I mean, right? But yet we found down through the years that Sunday schools are a wonderful thing. And they're a blessed thing. People get saved. Two boys got saved in our Sunday school this morning. So we can say, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing, a way to get the Word of God out. Amen? So there's nothing wrong with having Sunday school, but you can't go to the Bible and say, God says have a Sunday school. But God does tell us to teach the Word of God. So what I'm trying to say is that God leaves up to the pastors the way to conduct the administration of the church and the way it's to be done. We have Wednesday night services. There's nothing in the Bible that says you've got to have a Wednesday night service. But at the same time, the Word of God does tell us to forsake not the gathering of ourselves together. And down through the years, we found out a midweek service is a real blessing to God's people, and almost not only a blessing, a need for God's people. And so the pastor sets up the fact that we're going to have Wednesday night services. And because of that, the people of the church are supposed to mind the pastor and follow the pastor in the leadership of the church and do what the pastor has set up as a good program for teaching his people. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm simply saying to you that God has given us many things in the Word of God. There's no doubt about that when we gather, we ought to hear preaching. God tells us to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. There's no doubt about those things. And certainly through the Scriptures, he teaches about singing and making melody and praise to the Lord. It's right that we come and sing. But he doesn't tell us exactly how to do that. I mean, he doesn't say, you know, some churches, actually, I've seen them have the preaching first and some singing and testimonies after that. I've heard about them. I've never been in one, but I've heard about them. Now, can I fault that? Well, no, I can't fault that. I mean, I may not want to do that, but there's nothing scripturally wrong if they do that. Okay? What I'm simply saying is that there's different administrations. And God puts upon the shoulders of the pastor to set up certain things in the church that he believes would be the best way to do things that would honor the Lord. And so every one of us basically will do things just a little bit different. Understand that? All right. I want to talk to you tonight about being a part of the team. Now, Full Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a group of people. It's a group of members. And if you want to look at it, we're a team. We're dedicated to the saving of souls, the winning of people to Christ, and the growing up of God's people. And when we join Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we become a part of that team. Now, every team has a name. Some of you, if I said Dallas Cowboys, see what I mean? You recognize them immediately. Indianapolis Colts, is there any fans in here of the Indianapolis Colts? I'm getting some like this. But anyway, you recognize who I'm talking about because they have a team name. I mean, you understand that. All teams choose a name. Well, I still remember back when we started Blessed Hope Baptist Church and we met in a meeting, Brother Charles, you remember that? We met in a meeting and decided upon the name Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We chose that name because we felt it was a scriptural name and we felt it would honor the Lord and it would remind us constantly of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, other folk will choose other names and that's all right. But we're known as Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Not only that, every church or every team has to have members. They have to have people that play on the team. Or you don't have a team. Amen. Every church has to have members that get in and do the work that is assigned to them to do, or else you don't have a membership. Okay? So every team has members. And not only that, we are reminded that every team has a coach. Now I want to tell you who our coach is, if you don't already know. Our coach is Jesus. He's the one coaching things around here. Okay? We'll get on down the line in a minute, but Jesus is our coach. He's the one that tells us what to do. He's the one that instructs us and shows us what we should do. Even here, he wanted us to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. He wanted us to know how to do that. He's the coach, no doubt about it. And not only that, we've got a rule book. And that rule book is the Bible. And my friend, that we've got to follow the rule book. Amen. Not what you think, not what I think, but what the Bible says. And where the Bible does not speak on a thing, God gives direction and discernment to the pastor to lead in those things as long as it brings glory and honor to Jesus. Understand what I'm saying? But the Bible is our rule book. We can't get outside the rule book. Because that's what he gives us. That's our guideline. That's what he's given us to go by. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And he instructs us through that. Not only that, there's always a schedule of games. And I might say to you, Sunday morning Sunday school, and Sunday morning church, and Sunday night church, and Wednesday night church, we've got games scheduled around here. And we decided a long time ago that that was right, that was good, that will help our people to grow in the Lord. And so we've scheduled those so to be a help for you, and they are expected to be attended. I've thought so many times, if we treated a basketball team or a football team like we treat church, they'd never win one game. I mean, can you imagine, we'll use the Dallas Cowboys, I can't even think of somebody's on. Who's the quarterback of Dallas Cowboys? Troy Aikman. Now, can you imagine if Troy, come next week, it was time for a game, and he said, I'm just not going to play. I'm not going to show up. A couple of the others said, you know me neither, don't feel like it today. Now, can you imagine, I mean, just can you imagine in your mind in any way what was going to take place? I mean, do you think the coach would say, well, that's all right, Troy? Huh? Well, you know he wouldn't. But you know what? That's what we do, church. We just figure we can decide whether we intend to come or not, and whether we want to show up or don't show up. We've got a part to play, but oh, well, so what? Let's just forget it. Somebody else will fill in. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you was in the world doing that, you wouldn't last 5 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? There's people with responsibilities. In God's house, in God's place, you've been given those responsibilities, and you're expected to show up. Every service. Amen? You see, we've got to have a team, and that team's got to work for the glory of God. And we're doing a greater work than the Dallas Cowboys are doing. We got a greater purpose. We're getting out the Bible, the gospel of Jesus, and seeing souls saved, and it's eternal things we're working with when they're working with a game, a football game. And so there's a schedule of games each week. Amen. Not only that, there's a quarterback. Jesus is the coach, and I'm the quarterback. God made me the quarterback of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You can call him pastor, but that's who I am. I'm the one that directs the plays. Amen. I'm the one that gets it from the coach and gives it to you. Amen. Now, can you imagine Troy getting into this? I kind of like that, Troy. Troy getting into this huddle and saying, boys, I'll tell you what we're going to do. This is the play we're going to run. And so they get up on the line, and everyone decides that he's going to run his own play. How long do you think they would last? Amen? Huh? You know I'm telling you the truth. You see, Blessed Hope Baptist Church has to be a team. Has to be a team effort. We have to work together for the glory of God, everybody listening to the quarterback and minding the quarterback and doing what the quarterback tells them to do. Now, I don't come into your Sunday school classes and say, now today I want you to do this, 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 and this. I tell you generally what I want you to do, and I want you to teach the Bible, the Word of God, and I expect you to get in those classes, and I expect you to do it. I expect you to do the job that I've appointed you to do in your classes, and no matter what it might be, whatever job it might be, you're expected to get into that job and do it because the quarterback got the word from the coach and he's given it to you. Amen? See, that's the way a team works. And there's always, let me say to you, there's always two teams. There's an opponent. And my dear friend, we've got him. And if you think that he isn't a good opponent, knowing what to do and knowing just how to handle things and knowing how to defeat us, if we don't be careful, you're wrong. And if we don't listen to the coach, we're going to be defeated. And if the quarterback don't listen to the coach and give you what the coach said, we're not going to make it. And then if you don't listen and you don't do what the coach told the quarterback to do, we're still not going to make it. Because we've got an opponent out there that is a very good opponent, and he knows what he's doing. That's old Satan. Now, there's two goals. One of them's heaven, and one of them's hell. I'm trying to get my team into heaven. And now we're trying as a team to get there and to get as many folk with us as we can. Trying to get a lot of folk to join the team. Because, you see, we're headed in the right direction. We're headed toward heaven because of Jesus, you see. Then, of course, over on the sidelines, there's the bleachers where the spectators sat. There's some folk that do nothing but be spectators. They sit on the sideline, and sometimes they don't even cheer the other ones on. Now let me say to you, you say, Brother Olson, I'm not doing much. Let me tell you something. If you're a prayer warrior, you're not a spectator. You understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you, if you get down into the trenches of praying, you're certainly not a spectator. You're one of the great team members that's helping that team to go out there. The rest of those who are actively, physically doing things, you're the one helping behind them to get in there and send them on their way with prayer of God in their hearts and God doing it for us. I'm simply saying to you folks is this, spectators never help a team unless they get behind that team and cheer it on. Can you imagine Dallas Cowboys and Troy in Dallas Stadium, and all of those over here on for Dallas all at once decides they're going to switch sides and start cheering the Washington Redskins? That's a no-no, folks. And yet, you know what we have? We've got those folk who sit on the sideline and cheer the devil's side. Oh, you say they don't cheer the devils. Yes, they do, because they're not cheering for us. They're in the background trying to stir up trouble and cause all kinds of problems and heartaches. That's the devil's side. Amen. And then let me say to you, although we don't have one, we don't know exactly what time the game's going to get over, but there's a game clock. My dear friend, I don't know when it's going to strike midnight. But I know it's going to. I don't know how much time is left in the game. I really don't know. But I know it's getting short. I know it's time for us to gather together as a team and to get busy for Jesus and do everything we can do because the time is short. Let me say also, there is no game ever won in the huddle. Games are not won in deacon meetings. Games are not won in business meetings. Games are won in prayer meetings and church services where the Word of God goes forth and people believe and understand what God is saying and mind God and do what God says. That's where the game is won. The game is never won by spectators. The game is always won by the team members who get into the game and do everything they can do to win it. Dedicated to the winning of that game. And let me say to you, we as Christians need to just take a little bit from some of these sports people who will go out on those fields and play with broken hands and broken fingers and all kinds of things and get out there and play anyway. Bill Parcells at one time coached his team, and I can't remember whether he won or not, I just can't remember that, but coached his team with kidney stones. And as soon as it was over, he went to the hospital. What does it take to stop us? Why tonight is some of our people home? What is it? Is it so such an emergency that they just can't be here? If you was playing on a professional team, my dear friend, you'd be there. You wouldn't play. And it wouldn't be a little bit of broken finger that would cause you not to be there. And yet we in Christianity let anything, I don't care what it is, any little thing stop us. I've seen it so many times down through the years. Sunday morning, I call it Sundayitis. Sunday people are sick. I mean, there's a sick and you just can't make it. Monday morning, there's a resurrection happens. I mean, glory to God, they feel all right. They drag themselves out of bed. They get going and say, I got to go to work. But they don't have to go to church. Phony. Phony baloney. That's good preaching, isn't it? And I'm serious about that, though. Don't take anything to stop God's people. A little bit of illness. Oh, I'm feeling sick. You know, I'm going to be sick tomorrow. I ain't going to be able to make it tomorrow. Oh, I feel bad. Monday morning, I'll be all right. Oh. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let me stop and let me say something to you. Now, you know your preacher well enough. You've been around him long enough. You know that this preacher loves folk, and I do. That's why I'm preaching to you like I do. I love you tonight. And I know that there is absolutely sometimes when, my friend, you are ill and you cannot make it. Don't you think your pastor knows that? I'm talking about a real serious thing that you just can't make it. You feel terrible. You can't make it. You may be running a fever. You may have all these. I'm not talking about that type of thing. Because I get tested every time I preach with what I preach. So I'm liable to come down with a bubonic plague next week. I always get tested. At that time, I'll run a fever. I remember one night I preached in 1981. I run in a fever of 104. I preached and finally got to the hospital and like to died. So I probably oughtn't to have preached. I mean, I really probably oughtn't to have preached. I'm simply saying to you, there's times I understand that. I know that when people are ill, really ill, but my friend, that's not usually the case. It just becomes an excuse to get out of the house of God. So games are won by team members who dedicate themselves to the work of God. Games are won by keeping the rules, obeying the coach, working with the quarterback, and working in unity as a team member. That's the way we win. I remember back in the seventh grade, I played basketball. And seventh grade come along, we was down into the season a little ways. And my coach come up to me and he said, Bob, said, you think we ought to have practice tonight? I thought it was kind of odd that he was asking me that. Now this dummy said, Coach, don't make any difference to me, whatever you want to do. Well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, you go on home and the rest of us will practice. You see, he saw something in me that I didn't know was there. He'd been watching it. I really wasn't giving my all. But he saw it. And you know what? That broke my heart because I knew something. No practice, no game. And I loved to play. And I knew if he didn't let me practice, I would not play that game. And he sent me home. But I want to tell you something. I come out of that with a different spirit. I was one of the first ones at practice. One of the last ones to leave. And I'd done my best to give it all while I was there. Now, if he hadn't have done that, I'd have probably just continued on in my own little way, not really dedicated to the work which he wanted me to do. I'm saying to you folks, why is it we think in Christianity that if we miss practice, we still get a play in the game? But Christianity does that. Miss practice if you want to, but boy, come and play the game Sunday morning. I think we need to get back to doing what my coach done to me. If you ain't got time to practice, you ain't got time to play the game. You see, there needs to be a loyalty to the work of God. There needs to be a loyalty to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Why? This is the place that God has placed you as a member to be and to serve. And you chose to join this church and become a member of the team. And you ought to have loyalty to this church. I'm for other churches, folk. I hope they win them by the millions. I'm serious about that. I hope the churches around this area, all over this state, all over this country, win people to Christ by the millions. I'm for them. But I'm loyal to this church. Why? Because this is where God put me. As a member and a pastor. I remember back when Blessed Hope Baptist Church was started. We started this church in 1973. And I remember the enthusiasm. I remember the unity of purpose. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the folk gathered together. They was united in the purpose. We was going to start a church upon standards of the Word of God. And we was going to walk according to the Word of God. And we didn't say we'd all done everything perfect. I just say that was in our heart. That was our purpose. That was our desire. And we wanted even a name that would glorify God. We wanted to do what God said in His Word. That was the purpose for the starting of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I remember the willingness to sacrifice for God's work. I'm going to tell you, I think back to those days and there was sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice given. That work would get off the ground and go on for God, and it did. Because a bunch of members, team members, got together and said, we're going to do it for God. We can't do it on our own, but we're going to let Him guide us. He's going to coach us, and we're going to do what He says. We're going to get it behind the quarterback, and we're just going to do a work for God, and God bless that thing. Those were great days. I look at Blessed Hope Baptist Church today, and listen, you're going to say, Brother Ross, do you think it's a terrible place? No, I don't. I think it's a wonderful place. But I know it doesn't have the same fervency. I know it doesn't have the same loyalty that it had in those days. We find basically in church circles, and this is just not Blessed Hope Baptist Church, this is happening all over this country. But we find in church circles that people come to the house of God and they hear the preaching of the Word of God, they speak for a few moments to each other, they go out, and that's it. There's no closeness and unity of purpose. Back a couple weeks ago, Dallas Moore said to me, and I said, Dallas, I'm so sorry it rained and we didn't get to have that fellowship on the day that we were supposed to have it. And I said, I'm sorry. He said something to me, which was true, and I knew it, but I was glad he said it. He said, you know, Brother Ross, he said, God knows what He's doing. God has a reason for everything. And I said, Dallas, that's right. He always never does anything without a purpose, without a reason. And I've looked at that and I've said, I believe God did do that for a reason. I believe He postponed it for a week to try to open our eyes to where our loyalties are at. Because the next day that it was scheduled, a small group of people showed up. Now, we had a good time. We enjoyed ourselves. But we'd enjoyed ourselves a whole lot more if the rest of the family had been there. Now, do you know, and I'm not saying, listen to me, I'm not saying that there was not some emergency come up in somebody's life, absolutely impossible for them to be there, but I know as a general rule, they came because, they did not come because of carnality. They had other things to do, more important than gathering together as a group of people who's trying to build a work for God and to enjoy each other's company, and to encourage one another in the work of God. They had other things that was more important, and I'm ashamed of what some of those things were. And I think it ought to open our eyes to where our loyalty is and our priorities are. Let me tell you, if that's the kind of loyalty and priority we'd had back in 1973, this church would never have existed. This building would have never gotten built. I'll guarantee you, because I remember the hours and the dedication that men and women of God put into this building, to the building of this place for the glory of God. And I'm talking about hour after hour after hour after hour. They'd go out there and work their job, show up here and work another 6-7 hours sometimes. But the loyalty and dedication we have in Christianity today would have never got that building built. Never. And what people were saying the other day when we had that fellowship, Pastor, I know you're the quarterback, but I don't care what call you play or what play you call. I'm going to run my own. I'm going to do what I want to do. In fact, that statement was ever made. It was even made. I don't care what he thinks. I'm going anyway. Now, my dear friend, you'll never build a work of God on that. Never will. Never can. I didn't say we can't do some great things, but I'm trying to do some adjustments in your thinking and in your loyalties, in your priorities. This is a team situation. We're doing this for the work of God. That fellowship was designed, and folks, you know, this pastor don't schedule very many. That fellowship was designed to get God's people together to be able to talk with one another, enjoy one another's company, and get to know each other, and get the burden for each other, and to spend some time together. That's what it was designed for. But other things were more important. You see, you won't come to practice, but you want to play in the game. Amen. You want to run your own plays, not the quarterbacks. You want to do that which is right in your own eyes instead of what the team is doing. You know, I think about these things a lot, and I wonder why a team member would not want to come to practice. I wonder why, when this preacher, I know he's not everything he ought to be, and I know that there's other preachers could teach the Word of God much better than I do. I know that. But you're stuck with me, because God put me here. And I'm trying my best. I'll guarantee you, I'm trying my best to teach the Word of God to you. Sunday morning during Sunday school, I do my best to teach through the life of Elijah, to help you. Why would you not come? Sunday morning, I pray and I prepare a Sunday morning meal. It may not always be the best one, but it's what God's given me, and I do my best to deliver it. Sunday night, I do the same thing. Wednesday night, I do the same thing. I'm working very hard on Wednesday night messages. I'm telling you, I'm studying and working hard. And I know you folk work hard too. I'm not trying to put anything on my... I'm just simply saying I'm doing my best. Why would any team member of this church want to sit home? Why? You see, we won't win the games like we're supposed to win them unless the team is united and dedicated to the same purpose. With loyalty to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the pastor there, not some other pastor, not some other church. Loyalty to this place. where God has placed you as a team member. Amen. It's an odd thing in Christianity. And I do not want what I'm just going to say. But a man of God can come in from the outside and preach the Word of God, and people after people will walk up to him and tell him how great a sermon that was. And I can preach my heart out and never get a word of encouragement. I can preach to you week after week after week, and some of the same ones that'll uplift another man of God will not even walk up and say, "Pastor, thank you for that message. It helped me." Now you say, "Brother Ross, is that what you're looking for?" No, I'm really not looking for that. I'm saying, why is that? I think I know down through years why it is. It's because this pastor stands here week after week. And I lay it on the line. And you get to the place where you kind of get tired of me laying it on the line. And so when someone else comes around and does it, you're kind of glad for another voice. Now, I don't want you. I don't want you to walk up tonight and say, "Pastor Ross, you know, that was a great message. I want you to know that. I don't want none of that. I'm serious. I don't want none of that." I'm just simply saying, aren't we a team? Amen. What if I went up to a deacon of another church and said, "Man, you're a great deacon. You're doing a great job." Or I went up to a Sunday school teacher of another church and said, "Man, you're a great Sunday school teacher." Amen. You say, do I want you to uplift these other pastors? Yes, I do. We have a lot of good men of God comes through this place, preaches to us. I was very thankful. Brother Townsley preached for me last Sunday night. I haven't heard his message yet. I'm going to, but I know it was a great message. I know Brother Townsley, and I know it was a great message. I believe Brother Benefield gave you a good message. I haven't heard it yet, but I believe with all of my heart Brother Benefield gave you a good message. I'm sure he came, brought the message that God wanted him to bring. And I'm grateful for that. That's what I want. But I want you to remember we're a team at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and team members gather together and get behind each other and work with each other. Let me make this statement. If it don't affect you, just take it for what it is. Some of our men at Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to regain the leadership of their home and begin to lead their home instead of their wife leading it. Instead of the wife deciding what they're going to do, the man will decide for the glory of God, for the goodness of the work of God. And I appreciate it very much, men. If you're not going to do that, I wish you'd sew some lace on the bottom of your britches so everybody will know where you stand. And if you are leading your family, God bless you. God bless you much. I'm not talking about leading in dictatorial shape things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about graciously, kindly taking the leadership of their family and saying, "No, this is right. No, this isn't right. We can't do this, honey, because this is not right. This is not bring glory to the God. We're not going to do that. We're going to go this direction. We're going to honor the Lord." In gracious, kind leadership, taking the leadership of their family and leading them in the ways of the Lord. You say, "Why, Brother Ross?" Because that's scriptural. The man is the head of the wife. He's the head of the home. And again I say, is he to be unkind? Oh, no, no, no. He's to be gracious to that sweet wife that God has given him. But he must make the decisions in the direction of the family. Joshua said, "As far as me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." He didn't ask Mrs. Joshua. He made the decision, and they did it. And then we need to make decisions that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, whether you realize it or not, needed this message tonight. I trust you'll take it in the right spirit, and I trust that you'll do with it scripturally what should be done with it. We've got a great opportunity here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to do a great work for God. Great opportunity. And we just needed some readjustments. I'm going to close by telling you, I had, when we was at Southwide, I had purchased a videotape by Ralph Sexton. The videotape was an interview with Gershom Solomon, who is the head of the Temple Mount Faithful in Israel. In other words, he is dedicated in his lifetime, and a group of other people are dedicated in their lifetime, to see the building of the third temple. I sat and listened to that in the last couple of days. It's about 90 minutes long. I had to do it in two hitches, but I sat and listened to it. I was so amazed and so taken back. When I got to the end of that, I told my wife, I said, honey, I don't know how long it's been since I heard a man. Now, you got to remember, this man is not a believer in Jesus. He's a Jew looking for their Messiah. That's why they think they have to get the temple built. They're looking for the Messiah to come any moment. So are we. But at the end of that, I was so taken back with this. I've never heard a man speak with any greater, wonderful, precious respect for God and for His Word. He spoke in such loving kindness toward his God, wanting the will of God done in his life. He believed that he was brought to this time in life for the purpose to do exactly what he's doing. And he had such respect for God's Word, which he believes the Old Testament is the Word of God. Doesn't accept the New Testament, but I'm talking about from his heart. You could hear it. You could feel it. I sat there with great admiration and respect for that man who loved his God so much. And I said to myself, you know what? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we at Blessed Hope Baptist Church would love our God that much? We have the answer. We have the truth of Jesus. And yet most of the time you don't hear speaking in reverence for the Word of God and for God and His Son. And yet here we are believers in Christ. And we take it so lightly. It takes little to stop us. This man is dedicated to the work of building that temple no matter what it cost him. They do it free. He don't get a dime. He donates all of his time to that work. And I thought, isn't that the way we ought to be? Dedicated to the work that God has given us to do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and let nothing stop us? Speaking in reverence and kindness of the Lord and His Word, that His Word is more important than anything else. Amen. I'm calling Blessed Hope Baptist Church back to a dedication to the Lord that we all need. We need to serve Him and put Him first. Amen. We need to let little things, we've got to quit letting them stop us. We got to realize that the work of Jesus and the winning of souls is more important than our carnal ways. Amen. I trust that you'll take this in the spirit that it was intended and that you allow God to use it as He wants to. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace and your mercy, your wonderful love for us. I thank you, Father, for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the opportunity you've given us here. And God, I pray that you'll call us all back to a dedication to the service of God and what you've given us to do. Realize the seriousness of the hour and realize we're a team that you've put together for the glory of God. And each one of us has a responsibility to do that which we're appointed. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.